Are we listening? Oh, we are. The microphone is listening to me and sharing it with you. Lord Jesus, we just bring this, well, we don't just bring it, we actually bring it. We bring this offering to you this morning. Thank you that you know what you have in mind for its use. And I ask you to bless us in our giving, but all the more bless those who receive. Amen. Right, here we are. We are progressing through the series, The Character of God. And I'll get to that in a moment, but first I want to do a little bit of the character of Graham. Because I'm going to attempt to weave some of my experience and my testimony through my presentation on the character of God. And I've told you all this before, but I'm weaving it this time. I had an encounter with Jesus in a Salvation Army church service in 1956, when I was just about 5 years old. Even though I was very young, I knew that the call to me was to surrender to Jesus. But I drew back. I realised the enormity of it, and I just said, this is not for me now. But then finally, after almost 25 years and many ups and downs, in 1979, I did surrender to Jesus, declaring at the time that I was incompetent to run my own life. And I certainly was. In that gap of almost 25 years, I remember some of the things that happened to me, things that I did. Some of them are of a moral and ethical character that I wouldn't want to talk about in this circumstance. But I do just remember some of the actual life-threatening events that came upon me. When I was maybe 9 years old, 1960, we were moving house and my father had borrowed the nearby factory's big truck, huge truck. And we were going around, and I was sitting in the front bench seat with a few other people. I thought I might have even been sitting on my father's lap, I'm not sure. But we started to go around this big bend, and the door flew open. And I... But... Close call. Scary. Finally, I get to high school. First year of high school. Monkey bars. Big ladder, ladder across, ladder down. Yep. We had a game going that if you could, two teams on either side, if you could climb across and get to the other side, you scored a point. But one of my classmates had this fantastic manoeuvre. He could climb up onto the ladder, then launch out and grab the middle of the horizontal one and then swing across. Boom. 1 point. I thought, I could do that. So I had to go, and of course I got out there all right, no problems. Grabbed the bar, but it was so slippery. Shoo, flat on my back, almost went unconscious, but pushed it out again. That was a bit lucky. Lucky. In the school there were other people doing gymnastics, and some of them were doing this fantastic gymnastic cast-off where they'd hang vertically on the fence around the school oval, then they'd swing, boom, on their legs, feet. I thought, yeah, I can see that, yeah. So I tried it in private this time. I went to a local park, and same thing happened. I got there and boom, straight on my head. Ah, ooh, that really hurt. I still feel that. Then I grew up, 21 years old, given charge of a big four-wheel drive vehicle up in the far north Flinders Ranges near Mount Painter. And I was given charge of this on a day where I could go out into the field by myself, anywhere I liked, do my stuff and come back. But I had an accident, didn't I? I was going up this very steep, this was all just bush mining tracks, going up this steep hill, so I put it in low drive, low four. Up, got to the top, flat, then it turned, and I missed the gear change. And I looked down at my feet, what was going on? Suddenly, boom, 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 boom. I went off the edge, this big steep drop, or hillside. And I ended up horizontal, stationary, surrounded by these big boulders. And the road was sort of up here. Anyhow, I got back up on the road, but that was a close one. A few years later, I was doing field work down around Port Lincoln. I had to drive from Adelaide to Port Lincoln. And I was in this, again, a university vehicle. And I was driving along the road by myself, several hundred kilometres. And I was getting glary and I started to get drowsy. Next thing happened, I fell asleep. And I woke up. And there I was, highways here, these sort of axe, the dirt, the dusty, sandy access tracks here, and I'm driving along. So I got back on the road and drove on. That was a close one. In a similar field trip, this time I took my own car, a little tiny Corolla. I'm driving along the highway again, and there were some roadworks ahead. I get up to the roadworks, and there's water on the ground, and this big truck came past, 100 miles an hour it seemed, and a big mud spatter, boom, right across the windscreen. Instant brownout. Ah! That was close. But the one that really scares me the most, and when I was putting this together and thinking about this, my palms started to get sweaty. But I was helping a colleague collect rocks right down in the southern Eyre Peninsula, miles from anywhere. And we were on these rock platforms that over here was the ocean. It was a bit, he was sledgehammering, broke off this big chunk of rock and it dropped from the level we were on to the next level down. I said, oh, it's all right, I'll get it. And I went down, whoosh, headed straight for the ocean, on my back, feet first. Guess what? There was a big rock right in front of me, 10 metres away. I'm all right. I very gingerly crawled back up the steep, slippery slope. Whew. That one, they were all frightening, but that was the most disconcerting of all. The slippery slide towards the ocean. So those intervening 20 plus years were hazardous to my health and welfare. But you know, I did give my life to Jesus. And looking back, I can just see in those the hand of God keeping me safe. And that was the same with some of the other more nebulous moral and ethical situations. But that's not for today. But there he was, I'm sure. Jesus was there watching over me, averting disaster when necessary. And keep on. Didn't leave me, didn't go away, but kept on calling me to himself. So eventually, I did answer the call. I recognised I was a lost sheep, incompetent to run a proper life, just waiting for the shepherd to come, and he came. And after surrender, I became a sheep within God's flock, belonging to the shepherd. And not surprisingly, today then, talking about the character of God, I'm going to be focusing on the characteristic of a shepherd. Or to be more specific, Jesus, the good shepherd. Jesus has been a good shepherd to me. He is the good shepherd. And Jesus talks about this himself in John chapter 10. And in verse 14 he says, and he says it twice, but he says it in 10:14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. Well, we all know what a shepherd does. They herd sheep. Herd sheep. New Testament Greek, Old Testament Hebrew, the word for shepherd means that, a sheep herder. You can then move into the realm of where the sheep and the person shepherding the sheep are people, both sheep and shepherd. And so it can relate to a leader or a ruler or a pastor. And in a verb form, it just means to tend a flock or to lead it or to rule it. It's a bit different context than we are used to in modern Australia, to where when sheep are herded or whatever, there's usually motorbikes and dogs and big dusty clouds and so on and so forth. But the Bible times, especially this passage of scripture, defines a much speaks of a much more personal and gentle process. Shepherds knew their sheep. Sheep knew their shepherds. So my emphasis today will be that a godly shepherd's attention to his sheep is always for the good of the sheep. And it's built on a reciprocal, loving and intimate relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. So let's go to John chapter 10. And as I said, twice in this block of scripture, Jesus declares himself to be the Good Shepherd. So I'm going to read verses 1 down to 18 in the New Living Translation, starting at verse 1 of John chapter 10. I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Now those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant. So he explained it to them. I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers. But the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's only working for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. Just as my Father knows me and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep too that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. The Father loves me because I sacrifice my life so I may take it back again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily. For I have the authority to lay it down when I want to and also to take it up again. For this is what my Father has commanded. So there twice Jesus declares himself to be the Good Shepherd. His intention is to give his sheep a rich and satisfying life. Older translations, such as the New King James, say this perhaps more familiarly, I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. His intention is to bless his sheep with abundant life. Jesus is the good shepherd. This is one of the important features of the character of God. But you may have heard also, as you read through that section, that it talked somewhat about robbers and thieves and hired hands, people who didn't look after the sheep. In fact, the Bible, in many places, but spectacularly in Ezekiel 34, if you care to go and read it one day, recognises that there are bad shepherds and even bad sheep. But I'm not going to talk about them today. That's for another day, perhaps. I remember there was a time when Peter used to talk from Ezekiel 34. Always. The shepherds, yes. But today I'll just leave that for now and we'll focus on the good shepherd. Jesus is speaking from his own point of view. He is the shepherd of the sheep, used figuratively to refer to his relationship to his people. He says, "The one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice." Now, the gatekeeper I take in this verse to be God. He's the one. He's the final arbiter of who is in the sheepfold and who is not. The gatekeeper opens the gate for the good shepherd to approach his sheep. Instantly, the sheep recognise his voice. They are attuned to him. A much more gentle process than Aussie mustering. And it says he calls his own sheep by name. Not all the sheep in the sheepfold belong to him. As it says elsewhere in the Bible, Matthew chapter 20, many are called, but few are chosen. It's those who are genuinely and wholeheartedly coming to him. They're the ones he leads out to feed on the pasture. He gathers his own flock and he walks ahead of them and they follow him. My state of being for that 25-ish years was that I had been called, I did respond, but not fully, genuinely or wholeheartedly. I drew back. At that stage, I was not part of Jesus's flock. But I do believe the Good Shepherd had not given up on me. I was just a child. Just a child. My auntie gave me this when I was about... What date was it? Christmas Day, 1958. I was seven. It's a very... What's the word? Dated presentation, but it's meant something to me for a long time. Sorry? Oh, sorry. I could have got Peter to put this up bigger, but it's a shepherd. It's Jesus, the good shepherd, crook, little lamb in his arms. Well, the book's the... Sorry, you're taking very detailed notes here, Julie. It's the songbook of the Salvation Army. Yes, I was, yes. It's a lovely presentation. Sorry. I'll move on. So, I believe the Good Shepherd had not given up on me. Now, the people who heard this illustration that Jesus gave didn't all understand what he meant. They didn't have ears to hear at that stage. Not everyone who hears Jesus' call understands. I drew back because I was afraid of surrendering to Jesus. I was not willing or ready to commit to him fully. I was a child. I did not fully realise his purpose was to give me a rich and satisfying life, an abundant life. Now Jesus goes on to reveal another dimension of his nature. In verse 11 he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep." And Peter mentioned this in his communion introduction. Jesus sacrifices his life for the sheep. Here Jesus points to the coming sacrifice of his own life on the cross for the benefit of his sheep and in harmony with his Father. In verse 17, he goes on to say, "The Father loves me because I sacrifice my life so I may take it back again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down when I want and also to take it up again. For this is what my Father has commanded." So the shepherd recognised that the time was coming when he would willingly, in line with the Father's plan, he would willingly, voluntarily lay down his life as a sacrifice for the benefit of his sheep. It doesn't say it here, but we know he would lay down his life and be the sacrifice for our sins to redeem us on the cross. Jesus laid down his life for the sheep willingly, and he takes it back again in the resurrection. This is the plan of God, and Jesus is the key to the implementation of God's plan. He participates willingly, and so in love for the sheep, he lays down his life for the sheep, and then he rises to new life, which he imparts to his true sheep. He gives us eternal life. He gave me eternal life. That 25 years was not wasted. I learnt a lot. But the final surrender to Jesus was a far greater benefit to me than all of those 25 years. And I'm so grateful that the Good Shepherd had not given up on me. The Good Shepherd came looking for me. We know the other story of the man who had 100 sheep, one of them gets lost. What did he do? Well, he left the 99 others and went to search for the one that is lost until he found it. And when he had found it, he joyfully carried it home on his shoulders. It says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I was lost, definitely, but now I am found. This happened in May 1979 at a kitchen table in the company of two Christian friends. They offered me very simple, "Graham, you could give your life to Jesus right now if you wanted to. Do you want to?" And they got a shock when I said, "Yes." They got a big shock. There I was, without fuss or bother, quietly, I gave my life to Jesus. Finally, at last. Now the Good Shepherd is my Good Shepherd. So what should be our response to our Good Shepherd? He calls us. He takes the initiative. We obviously need to respond to his call. We need to hear his voice and listen to him. This comes in many ways. The clearest, most of the time, is the Bible. Meditation can give us further insights as the Spirit reveals things to us. Our worship, our fellowship, all these things are important. And finally, well, not finally, but all the time, when we do get the guidance, we need to obey it. We need to obey him. He leads us. We need to follow him. He seeks us out when we get lost. He protects us. He sacrifices himself for us. He rose from the dead for us. He is indeed a good shepherd, our good shepherd. I'm going to pray now. Lord Jesus, I do thank you that you are our good shepherd. Thank you that you have all good things for us. Thank you that you do want to reveal yourself to us in new and encouraging ways. Thank you for this time we can spend together sharing our experiences of you, sharing our love for you, and just sharing our being together in the company of the Good Shepherd. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.